Thank you so much. What a blessing. I'd like to ask everybody who's here this morning to find the second book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. I have several things to tell you about 2 Chronicles that I'm not going to say because I'm up against a little bit of a time limit here because in a few minutes I've got to be in Canada. Okay, I told some of my friends this coming week I'm actually preaching in revival services at two places at once. Never did that before. And two different countries is pretty remarkable. But anyway, God's doing some wonderful things in these days all over the world. So what, wouldn't you expect that he would? There isn't any doubt that we're living at a significant moment in history. All you have to do is open your eyes. Even if we may not be aware of what the significance is, we know that God is the author of history and the ruler of the universe. And we're his children. And we just want to play our role. Don't you want to play your role? And I'd rather be right here than anywhere in the world with what's going on here. Now, we're going to read an extended passage of Scripture. I've up here tried to work out how I was going to say what I need to say to you. So what I'm going to do is read this. It's an extended passage, but it's the right one for today, no doubt about that. And I'll probably comment along the way and then kind of give you my outline afterwards. Let's see if I understand it. Okay, but anyway, I'm glad for you to be here. Good to see you all spread out. That's very unusual. But you know this, spreading out 6 feet apart is not any problem for me because in my life and experience, people generally like to be as far away from me as they can be. And to be honest with you too, I am more accepted when I wear a mask than when I have my regular face on. So none of this is troublesome, not at all, really. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Chapter 20, ever read chapter 20? 2 Chronicles was written as a part of the motivating literature written by Ezra the scribe to recruit people to go with him back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple and restart the worship of Jehovah. First 2 Chronicles written by Ezra. And 2 Chronicles is about sons of David who sat on his throne in Jerusalem, one right after another. And now we come to Jehoshaphat in these chapters. And you know what? These men were kings, but they were individuals with weaknesses and strengths and needs. And in a phenomenal way, 2 Chronicles, although some of you avoid the book, speaks to us personally and individually. And this passage, you gotta use your imagination. How many of you know anybody who has an imagination? Okay, I hope it's you. And when there's a narrative in the Bible, God wants us to see it, verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, who were bad people, they were enemies of Israel. And if you check their history, the Moabites and the Ammonites were descendants of Lot, who were conceived, that is their forefather, by incest, that wicked situation. And they were giving the Israelites lots of trouble. Now, here's an interesting truth. Did you know the Israelites, when they came to conquer Canaan land, their enemies were not really strangers? All of these heathen nations had a history in the past that had somewhat to do with the people of God and their sins. You know what I found out in my life? When I confront enemies and obstacles in my life, often they are not strangers. They came from something in my past. So here come the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. Now, notice here, his fear and his prayer was first personal. Matter of fact, if you know about the King James Bible, The pronouns thee and thou and thine are singular. And so it was Jehoshaphat that was told, there is a great army of enemies come against thee. It's against you personally. And then he feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout Judah, all Judah. That was the kingdom over which he reigned. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, listen to this prayer, folks. O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary, the temple, therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou art here and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, that's the Edomites, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, this is history, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. We didn't do them any harm. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. He was a singer, a priest who is gifted to sing. Came the Spirit of the Lord in the prayer meeting. The Spirit of the Lord came upon a singer who became the voice of God's word in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now they were under the old covenant, and you ought to compare the old covenant that God had with the nation of Israel compared to the new covenant, which he has with believers in Jesus Christ assembled in churches. How many of you would say, I regard myself as a true believer in Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. And I consider myself to be assembled in a church right now. Okay, we are God's people under the new covenant. Many things are similar. They had a temple on Mount Moriah. It was the house of God. It was a house of sacrifice and a house of prayer. We have a temple also. That temple is the church of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Timothy. Not the building, but the people. We are the temple of the Lord. We are also the house of prayer. If you study the church, you'll see that in many ways it is a gathering for prayer. And they had sacrifices. According to the book of Hebrews, especially chapter 10, we have one sacrifice. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, who was sacrificed for our sins on Mount Calvary. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ, once for all. They had priests. We have a great high priest. That's Jesus Christ, our mediator, who's up there, mediating between God and man there, up at the right hand of the Father this morning. And they were given commandments. This is interesting to me. And the old covenant summed up at the end of the book of Deuteronomy says, if you keep my commandments, the ones I gave you specifically through Moses, then I will do the following good things for you. But you know what? The new covenant is a bit different, but not a whole lot different. You know what the Christian life is? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. That's what the Christian life is. Almost reminds you of the old covenant. And the whole thing comes together in prayer. Now news comes. The Moabites and the Ammonites, an enormous army, who intend to do the people of God great harm. And you know what? It was terrible news. Now let me ask you a question. What would you do if you got some terrible news? What did young Jehoshaphat do? He feared, but then he prayed. He sought the face of the Lord. It used to be in our country that even people who were not church people had the natural inclination to do that. Some great crisis. You know what? Let's call the preacher. Or why don't we sit down and pray? Maybe God can help us out. That's what we find happening here. And when I ask you, what would you do if you got some really bad news? I'm not just speaking in theory. Not today. There's disease in the land. And around the world, nobody understands it. Don't be foolish enough to think that the experts do, because it's obvious that they don't. It's a pandemic, they call it. It's at least an epidemic. And the Bible calls it a pestilence. Wow. And it could affect my family and yours. And it already does. And right now, you know, we're facing revolutions. Now, you may call it a demonstration, but I'll tell you what, they burn buildings down and kill people. I call it a riot. And they're everywhere. It's revolution, maybe an organized revolution. We don't know. There has been a revolutionary socialist in our country for a long time. They're not exactly secret, who have been looking for a chance to raise up and destroy society. Is that happening now? Well, we know there's lots of violence. There's oppression, at least in a lot of our points of view. That's where the powerful oppress the weak. And I'm talking about government oppression. At least it looks like to us. I don't want to get into a debate over that. But here you and I wake up in the morning and we listen to the news, unless we're smart and we don't. And we hear about a disease like we've never experienced, a revolution everywhere, even Milwaukee. Oppression, how far is it going to go? How long is it going to last? Economic collapse, who didn't notice that? And you know, we go around blaming, whose fault is it? The economy is collapsing. And now they've got the great solution. They're going to give everybody a check and bankrupt the government. That should help us. I'm being sarcastic. Economic collapse. What did he do? He prayed. And he got the people to pray with him. And what a prayer. Now, some obvious things. But you know what I kind of think? At this prayer concert, we need to start by remembering some obvious things. Number one, God responds to prayer. Do you think he does? Do you think a prayer time is a ritual? Do you think it's an appropriate thing for churches to do? Do you think a prayer is simply saying words with a special tone that you learn in seminary? Our Father, we call upon thee on this day. Or is there such a thing as somebody in desperation crying out to the ruler of the universe and getting him to respond? Oh, God responds to prayer. He called on them to fast and pray, proclaimed a fast. You know what that is? Doing without food so you can pray. Did you know there's a principle in the Bible that your faith becomes stronger in your prayers when you neglect the physical to focus on the spiritual? Like fast and pray, or watch and pray, or 1 Corinthians 7 about marital love. Giving up the physical for a while to focus on the spiritual. And I'm going to tell you, then the invisible becomes visible and you have faith. So that was good. They decided to fast and pray. You know why? He was serious. You know, a lot of us, the only thing we do about the news is we worry about it. That's a good Christian thing to do. Right in front of our kids, we worry about it. We say things like, what are we going to do? It's as if we don't believe in God. But you know what? The king decided to fast and pray because he was serious. He thought something could be done about this. And Judah gathered, verse 4. That's a good idea, getting a bunch of people together to pray. And there was an amazing prayer. We've read it. And then there was an amazing thing that happened. And I'm going to tell you before I'm done what happened. Let me ask you, do you think something amazing could happen? We had a pretty phenomenal men's prayer meeting last night. I mean, I think it was. I walked out of there and called my wife up back in Michigan. You know, Michigan, we have trouble too. I called her back and I said, I heard men lifted up on high in the very throne room of God. I am very encouraged about that. But what do you think? Do you think if we have several days devoted to prayer at Falls Baptist Church, it'll make any difference? Or just make us feel a little better? See, give us a little more religious twinge to our daily life? Or do you think history can change? Do you think that a plague could be stayed? Do you think a revolution could be quelled? Do you think a revival could happen? What do you think? Wow. Now, I want to tell you this. God responds to prayer. Yes, he does. In Matthew 1, 2, 3, and 4, the book of Matthew is probably the most influential book ever written because it introduces the world to Jesus Christ. Matthew 1, 2, 3, and 4 shows us that God is the Father of Jesus. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us that he's our Father too, if we're his follower. Wow. And that one of the things we get when we get God as our Father is he cares about us, he's generous, and he'll give us things. See, Matthew 6, he says, pray, our Father, and says we can expect for him to meet our needs because he knows what we need before we ask. Matthew 7, do you believe the Bible? He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Then he says, what man of you that is a father, if his son will ask him for bread, will he give him a stone? Obvious answer is no. And then he says this, how if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Now he's saying God answers prayer. Romans chapter 10, verse 11 says this, the scripture saith, whosoever believeth him shall not be ashamed. In the Bible, the word ashamed means disappointed. If you believe, you won't be disappointed. And it says, for there is no difference. For between the Jew and the Gentile, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what that says? Everybody in the world can find out that there's a God up there who listens and answers prayer. He is rich to all who call upon him, saved or unsaved, Greek or Jew. Doesn't matter who. Back in the dawn of human life, there was a baby born. named Enos. Enos is a Hebrew word that means man. The main Hebrew word for man is Adam, the name of the first man. Enos also means man, but in a different sense, like mortal man, weak man, or we'll say, you know, he's only human. So they had a baby and they named him Enos. He's only human, emphasizing man's weakness. And it says, during his day, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Men started to pray when they found out that they couldn't handle life, that they're going to need help. Follow that idea of call upon the name of the Lord. The same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon him. And then he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, friends, no matter who you are, if you have ever prayed about anything, you found out that there's somebody up there. Yeah, not necessarily everything that you asked, but you need your Bible to see how and what it is God will answer your prayers. No doubt about it. Jesus said in John chapter 15, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. But I'm going to tell you, if you pray enough, you see some things happen that cannot be explained in a human way. And it doesn't say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall get a check. Some people have gotten money in answer to prayer. How many came to church today who would say, I have needed money. And one time I asked God for the money I needed and was shocked because I got it. Raise your hand. Yeah. Doesn't say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be healed. But God still heals people in answer to prayer. How many of you would say, I know of a healing that was a miracle? Yeah. But it doesn't say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be healed. But it does say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God is a father, not a genie. He doesn't always do everything we ask. Because it's a father, it goes through his mind and he decides, is this going to be best for my child? But one thing he always does is save a sinner who wants to be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm going to tell you, how about you and your family? Have you found out that in a time of crisis, you can get together and pray and see something happen? Yeah, have you? I remember our family. When I was 14 years old, my mother came home. My dad had been sick with heart trouble for a couple years. Back in 1962, I didn't say 1862, but back in 1962, they didn't know what to do with heart trouble. My dad kept being taken to the hospital with heart attacks. He finally had to retire from his career because he couldn't work anymore. It was obvious to anybody who was old enough to understand that my dad wasn't going to live. But I didn't know it till my mom came home and said, today your daddy died. My life collapsed. And everything went away. But you know what? We weren't Christians. But you know what, I guarantee you, from that day on, my mom and sister and I started praying. Some of you know what I mean. And we saw stuff. Some of you don't think unsaved people can get their prayers answered. That's because you don't know God. God is merciful. He owes things to his children, but he does things for people that he doesn't owe anything to. Yeah, because he's merciful. See, we learned then the big day, about 6 or 8 months later, when I prayed the big prayer and asked Jesus Christ to save my soul, which is what somebody who came today ought to do. So one of the things in this great story is simply that God does respond to prayer. And I tell you, we need to remember that. You need to remember that. God will hear your prayers. I'm going to go quickly now. Number two, prayer is both personal and corporate. Started with Jehoshaphat, who is told, you know, the Moabites and Ammonites are here after you. And then he feared and began to seek the face of the Lord, and then he got others to do that. It's both personal and corporate. All prayer is essentially personal. It starts with you and God, no matter who you are. There are people here today who are saints. There are some who are sinners. There are some who are seekers. I pray that the saints will all be revived. I pray that the sinners will all be saved. And I pray that those who seek will find on this very day. And my hope of that is that God is there and he's hearing our prayers. But prayer is both personal and corporate. Prayer is a two-way communication. Did you know that? Now, I'm not hearing voices, so don't look at me like you're looking at me right now, okay? But it really is. So this beautiful prayer, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do, but we know who to seek. You've got to help us. That's what he said. Then in a few minutes, a singer stood up. Guy, we don't know him, Jahaziel, and he began to sing. And he sang, thus saith the Lord, and he told them something. This battle is not yours, it's God, and there's going to be a miracle. Did you know if you really pray, God will talk to you, help you pray, help you understand? He will. The Holy Spirit lives in Christians to communicate with us. The communion of the Holy Ghost brings communication. He will speak to us, especially when we're praying individually or as a group, when we pray together. Especially, I have seen God speak in the men's prayer meeting last night. I think I heard God speak last night. I think I did. And it's a two-way street. It really happens. During the time when we've had this trouble with the epidemic, as a traveling preacher, I've had some of my engagements canceled. And at the beginning when that first happened, you know, it's a sin to worry. So I'm not going to tell you I worried, but I did. Is it all right for me to confess my sins at the beginning of a revival campaign? So I did worry a little bit, but we figured it out. And one of the most amazing phone calls was this. I was to have revival meetings in Kentucky. Now, I'm used to this now, but I tell you, this was brand new to me. It didn't even occur to me. The new pastor down there and said, we've been having prayer meetings since the beginning of the year for the meetings in May, or was it April, with Brother Flanders. And you know what? In one of the prayer meetings, when we were being put under restrictions from the governor of Kentucky, God told us that we need to have the meetings, but have them online live stream or something where you preach in Michigan and we hear you preach. You know what they said? God told us. Now, does that sound weird to you? How many of you would say, that sounds weird to me? Well, can I tell you something? If you'll get praying more than you do and come into prayer meetings, you'll know what we mean by God told them. And he did. Matter of fact, the last few months, I don't have time now, but since I'll be with you for a few days, I'll tell you some amazing things about what God is telling his people all around the world. And some amazing things. So prayer is a two-way conversation. Prayer can be applied to many problems. Look at verses 7, 8, and 9. Now, I'm not going to take time on this. But we were told by King Solomon that when we're in trouble, pestilence, which means a disease, an epidemic, when you have a pestilence, go to the temple. Call on God and he will help you. Or judgment, God punishing you for your sins. Or the sword, a war, an invasion like Moabites and Ammonites. Whenever that happens, come down and gather at the temple and expect God to come through for you. And if it's sin that's the problem, repent of your sins, because the temple is not only the house of prayer, it's a house of sacrifice where you get forgiveness. Wow. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Prayer is, it has a lot of applications, including the one you're thinking of right now. Maybe something in the news, maybe just on your plate. Something you came to church today with. I'm going to tell you, God can take care of it. God can take care of it. You know what? It's not even hard. And you know what? If you're right with God, you can talk to God and expect something to happen. Really can. So there they were down in Jerusalem, King Jehoshaphat and all the kingdom of Judah. They were crying out to God. And they got their hearts right with God, and they were going to see something. So number 5, and I'm done. We should expect big things when we gather for prayer. because he's a big God. Now, I want you to read the rest of the chapter because it's something else. Oh, after the singer says, God has told me that, you know what? God's going to fight this battle and not us. And the Bible says the king was so grateful he started to weep and cry, and he got down on his knees in his royal robes right in front of everybody and worshiped God. A dramatic scene. Then they all sang before the battle. They sang the victory song before the battle. Then the king got up and he said, here's a New Testament word. Everybody needs to believe. Believe, do you all believe? Believe God, believe the prophets. Believe every word he says. Do you all believe? And they ended up believing. Then they went forth to battle. Only God was there first. You want to read the rest of the chapter to see this. One of the verses says that God sent ambushments among the bad guys, Moabites and Ammonites. Ambushments. Now, you'll read it about 17 times because I have already. And get a commentary and try to find out what the Hebrew is. And what this apparently was, angelic beings who were there to do the fighting. And they invaded the enemy army and messed them up. Read the rest of it. You know what it says? The ambushments. I'm not sure what they are. Invisible warriors from heaven came among the enemies, the wicked people, and they started killing each other. So that when the Judean army showed up on the scene, they were all dead. Now, I'd like to read that, so that's what I want you to do this afternoon. They didn't have to fight. They were all dead. So you know what? The people started praising the Lord at the end of the chapter, or not quite the end of the chapter, is a song service. They're praising the Lord for doing something great. Okay, now watch. It began when they gathered to pray. They had a big problem, a lot of big problems. So the king says, I've got to seek the face of God. Jehovah God is our only hope. Why don't you join me? And I'm not going to eat. Let's just pray till God comes through. Then the singer got up and says, God's coming through. So they believed God and they went to battle. And what on earth? The bad guys are all dead. How did that happen? It was a miracle. And they praised the Lord. In North Carolina, a couple of years ago, some of you heard about this, I got to go with my wife down there. We had revival meetings, and we saw a revival. Of course, since we saw some remarkable things, I would like to take up a bunch of time here and kind of get into my Canada time telling you what happened, but I'm not going to do that. But we had a real Holy Ghost for real revival. It was amazing among the saints, and then people started getting saved every day. Well, did I stay in touch with them? What do you think? Yeah, I'm still in touch with them. But you know what? In the weeks that came afterwards, everybody, even in Wisconsin and Michigan, heard about a big hurricane that was coming into that part of North Carolina. Great, big one was coming through. And this young pastor, he decided to do something. It was a certain week, and that Wednesday night, the evangelical churches in town that all had midweek services canceled it, because word was that hurricane is probably going to hit about Wednesday, and it's not going to just take shingles off the roof. It's going to flatten houses. The town is doomed. It's probably going to happen Wednesday, so we're not going to have services Wednesday night, except for my friend. He said, we're having a prayer meeting Wednesday night. And everybody in town knew about it. These crazy people at New Grace Baptist Church showed up on Wednesday night. The hurricane had not come, but everybody was afraid of it. They were up there praying. And you know what they were doing? They were praying against the hurricane. They really were. And the Holy Ghost talked to them. And they were Baptist. And they were given confidence. You're on the right track. Boldly, they prayed against the hurricane. And you know what happened? I know Falls had something like this happen. This really happened. The hurricane came into North Carolina. The town is Tarboro. Check this out if you want. And you know what happened? The hurricane, as it came across the state, came up to Tarboro and split. and devastated everything north and south and didn't touch Tarboro. Rained like crazy. There was flooding everywhere. There was eventually in the next few days damage in Tarboro, but the brunt of the storm never hit the city. You know what people in town were saying? It's because those crazy people at New Grace Baptist Church had a prayer meeting. You know what I think? I think they're right. And you know what? If we had any sense and any love for God, you know what we'd be doing? We'd be getting together to pray like they did here. Somebody would stand up and preach and pray an amazing prayer like Jehoshaphat did. Why don't you quote him? Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are on thee. And they prayed, and you know what God showed himself? He loves to do that. By doing a miracle, and they ended up singing his praise. And I would do that, would you? I would do that. Now, at the end, what happens is a Baptist church has a public invitation, a formal affair in a way, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to just stop. Then I got to go to Canada. Pastor Wayne Van Gelderen's going to come and lead us from there. But here's what I'd like you to do. Somebody has come to church this morning and you're not saved yet. You don't have a relationship with the God I'm talking about, but you could, because Jesus died for you. And if you would receive him as your Savior, all the privileges of a child of God would be yours. And that person is thinking about now, right now you're thinking about getting saved. And all you need is some help. And there are people here today who could show you how to receive Christ and answer your questions. You know what you need to do? You need to see that, say, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to come to Jesus. I'm going to get saved today. And some of you are Christians, but you're not right with God. How would you like to be caught in this mess and you're not right with God, with Moabites and Ammonites about to descend on you? Some of you are in that kind of a situation, but you're going to say, I'm going to get right with God. You know what I'd like you to do? I'd like you to get right with God. And if you need help, I'd like you to get help. And you know what I'd like everybody else to do, young, old, male, female, visitor or member? I'd like you to set out to gather with people to pray. Now, I know we're going to do that all day, but you know what wouldn't be a good thing if you grabbed your family, the kids, and everybody and said, you know what, we've been worried about this. It's wrong to worry. We're going to get together and pray, and maybe get together and pray right now, even before the group does. What do you think about that? So what I'm going to do is have us stand up, then just let us go. But let's stand up first, then I'm going to ask a question. Canada's waiting for me. Look at me. Who would say, Brother Flanders, I'm one of the people you spoke of when you said, there's somebody here isn't saved. I'm a sinner, but I don't know that my sins are forgiven. And I need help. I'm here a sinner and I'm not saved and I need help. And I'm willing to get some help. If that's you back there, I can see you somewhat. I have the lights in my eyes, but I'm looking for you. Who would say, Mr. Flanders, if somebody would help me, I'd get saved today. Raise your hand. I didn't see you. But if you need help, come on up to the front and get some help. Who would say, Brother Flanders, I'm a Christian this morning, but I'm not right with God, and I have no reason to believe that God would hear my prayers. So I need to get clean. I need to get clean. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I'm the one, if nobody else, that needs to be revived. I need to get clean. If that's you, Christian friend, I'd like you to raise your hand. Put your hand up right like that. Okay, when I let you go, I'd like you to come right on down the front and let somebody help you get right with God. And you know what? I'd like people to go to their family and friend when I give the break everything up and say, you know what? We need to gather for prayer. We need to see what we just read about happen to our situation. I'd like you to do that and let the Lord lead us. Dear God, thank you for the Bible and for the incidents in the Bible of phenomenal answers to prayer, including 2 Chronicles 20. Now, Lord, help us to experience your might and your power and your ability to turn things around That's our prayer. With our heads bowed, instruments will play some music, pastor will take over, and you go do what you ought to do.